The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
It is the middle of March Madness, and you are here to hear us talk about a team that just got eliminated from the NIT. So God bless you for that. Welcome in to Scrambled Eggs, everyone. Your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you. And hey, Phil, the season is finally over.
For some of us, it was a merciful release. And for some of us, it ended probably weeks ago when they gave up on this team. But, you know, whatever.
Today's podcast is going to be probably relatively brief. All we're going to do today is just break down and just take a look at Marquette's trip in the NIT. We're going to do the season post-mortem in a week or so. We're going to let the season marinate for a little bit, maybe see if there's any recruiting news that pops up over the next week or so.
And Get your grad transfers.
Yeah, well, we're going to wait for that list to fill out a little bit, too. I'm definitely not going to get in the mode of every grad transfer that gets posted say, hey, Marquette, you get that guy. Hey, Marquette, you get that guy. Hey, we should get that guy. Until, like, Marquette starts getting connected with grad transfers, I'm not going to get too excited about anyone.
Do we have any connections today, again, to Sister Jean?
Not that I know of, but if she wants to pray for us, I would appreciate it.
Okay.
I mean, she is at a fellow Jesuit school, after all.
Correct, and there's the, what's his name down there that might look good on another Jesuit program, but anyway, I digress.
Not to get too off topic, but my big fear is, like, if Chris Mack leaves Xavier and goes to Loyola, Xavier's going to scoop up Loyola's coach before we get a chance to hire him in a couple of years if we need a coach, but... And then he'll just kill it at Xavier like every Xavier coach does. But yeah, we're getting off topic.
Yes.
Again, today's show, Focus. We're just going to kind of look at the NIT little run that Marquette had and just kind of wrap it up from there. Phil, you had a chance to go to one or two of the games.
I went to the first two. Actually, I take the blame for the loss against Penn State tonight because I was not in attendance unlike the previous two games.
Well, then we can just blame it all on you then. It's certainly not Marquette's inconsistency and really inability to win three challenging games in a row, which they've really never done under Wojo.
Right, and there is that they've not won three games in a row statistic floating.
They've never won three Big East games in a row, and I would say they've probably never won three games against, like, non-bye team.
Now,
like,
to be fair, they did win three Big East games in a row. They beat Creighton,
now, that's
Georgetown,
right. Well, yeah, that was DePaul, but I'm not even counting DePaul as a legitimate win.
That was barely a basketball game. But anyway, I did go to the first two games, and I have to say, first I'm going to go with the compliment sandwich here.
That's a good idea. Let's do that.
The atmosphere was awesome. People were totally into it. In fact, there was griping about, tickets not being available. Luckily, I have enough season ticket points that I was able to secure some general admission, so it was awesome. So now in terms of the negative side, let's put to rest anybody going, that was awesome. Let's do it every game in the regular season.
Because it's still only 3,700 seats in there, right?
Right. I mean, correct.
You would think, I will say this though. I did kind of poo-poo the idea that, we should be excited about selling out an NIT game based on our season long attendance, but based on other NIT games around the country, selling out even 4,000 seats for an NIT game is pretty impressive. So the fan response to Marquette playing at the Al McGuire Center was great. Like you said, they did fill the place up, which was good and hopefully to be expected, but they did a great job in the fan response to playing there was great, and the atmosphere seemed like it was a lot of fun. But I agree, look, let's not throw away potentially as much as 10,000-12,000 more ticket holders every game, especially for the big Big East games, just because it's nice and loud in the Al McGuire Center. If the Al was a 10,000-seat arena, I would listen to it, but it's not even 4,000.
Yeah, well, I'm going to steal a little something that's become a meme from Archer, and do you want to be a mid-major? Because that's how you end up being a mid-major, is if you play, if you give up. I mean, Marquette has a season ticket holder base of 10,000 to 12,000 people alone, right? So, I mean, there was a considerable number of season ticket holders that couldn't even get access to tickets. So, I mean, it was interesting because it was competitive games and the NIT was postseason. And hey, look, we got victories in March in a non-conference tournament. That's not nothing. It counts for something.
You know, it was good reps. It looked like, especially in Wednesday night's game or Tuesday night's game against Penn State, I should say, Theo John played a lot. And yes. I think, you know, Wojo wanted to get a good long look at Theo John. And I think he had earned those minutes as well. I think that may be more what it was more about, is like Theo had progressed a lot. But yeah, he wanted to get a good look at some of his guys, you know, some of the younger guys, get them more playing time. Because obviously Sam Hauser's been banged up, and it was more obvious. And they would, like, what I guess had kind of been a secret for a while was pretty much thrown out in the open during the NIT broadcasts. The broadcasters even threw it out, and he was even reported after the game now that Sam's been playing on a bad hip and he needs surgery, like, now, so he's going to have that like next week, so he's ready for next season. So Sam maybe took a step back, you know, didn't play as many minutes as he would have wanted to, and it's probably for the best, and you get more looks at Kane and Elliott and Sakar. So yeah, there was certainly something to playing these NIT games, and yeah, it's a bummer the season ended and they didn't get a chance to go back to MSG, but you know, I'm kind of over it. I'm not going to lie, I'm not too broken up that the season ended. Because you know, I think it was time to shut it down, especially if Sam Hauser's out there playing on one leg. Let's just get him fixed up. I'm guessing Greg Elliott may need some help with that hand
as
well.
Yeah, he's going to need surgery as well. Yeah, both Greg and Sam are getting surgeries. So
two guys need surgery. Let's get them under the knife and get their rehab started so they're good to go by the time practice starts in the fall. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and you said
I think that was enough NIT.
Yeah, and you got the reps, and obviously you want to win, and if Louisville beats Mississippi State, it would have been awesome to see Marquette play Louisville in MSG. But, I mean, I guess, like, it was neat, the Al McGuire, you know, environment and the people that are there, and huge shout out to the what I used to derisively refer to as the Lax Bros, and now I'm gonna, you know, positively refer to them as the Lax Bros. That was some awesome.
The men's lacrosse team was awesome. They set a bar for the student section next year in the new arena. So we saw how loud and crazy that student section could get. Not that it was – maybe it was always that loud and crazy. You just didn't notice it in the gigantic Bradley Center.
Right.
But some of the creativity on the free throws, that was hilarious. Maybe bring some more of that to the new arena if the student section, you know, is lined up so it's directly behind the basket. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, you know, we can have some fun with free throws, distractions. Yeah, kudos to the lacrosse team. They had a lot of fun, and they kind of added to that atmosphere in the Al McGuire Center. So it seemed like they had fun, even though these were just glorified exhibition games, really, for Marquette. But, you know, it seemed like it was an enjoyable few games.
Yeah, it was. It was great, and it was good fun. But, maybe this is going, you know, retroactively going, well, we lost, so I don't care. You know, I'm not hurt. You're hurt. That it's like, okay, the novelty wore off. It's cool. We got a little of experience. But, you know, it was funny. It's not like this team turned a corner in the NIT. I think Kane,
no.
To me, Kane, like, kind of was a standout of the NIT. I mean, seeing him up live, that was one of the awesome things about the Al was, I mean, I was 10 feet away from the guys, you know, when they were playing and stuff. So you really get to see what's going on and how horrible the officiating is. But neither here nor there. Kane, to me, you mentioned Theo, you know, earned some extra minutes. And I agree, all the freshmen really came along. But Kane, I'm telling you right now, he is – with the exception of a fully healthy Sam Hauser, he is the player I'm most excited for next season.
More than Joey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Joey, but I don't know what Joey brings, right? I think Kane can be a real difference
maker. I'm just assuming he's a Sam clone.
Yeah, you would think.
But, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. As far as guys who are returning and the guys who could potentially take a big leap, yeah, I think maybe Kane could be that guy for next year. So, but, yeah, like there were some good things, there were some bad things, but like I think what you kind of hit on there, it's not like the team really turned a corner. Like the good and the bad that was there all year was still there in the NIT, right?
Right.
I mean, they could score, but they're not going to be consistent enough defensively to win a bunch of games in a row.
And if they go cold like they did against Penn State where they're just not hitting – I mean, Sam missed three wide-open threes in a row in, like, the third quarter. You know,
goes to playing on one leg because when your legs aren't there, you're not a shooter. Yeah, but, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And, yeah, like, when the shots aren't there – and that's been a theme all year, so that's really nothing new. So it was fun to see if, like, Marquette could have gotten lucky and gotten all the way to MSG and – won the NIT or whatever. That would have been cool. But I'm not going to lie. There's a little small part of me that's like, I'm really glad we're not going to have to deal with the dilemma of hanging an NIT banner.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, opening the new arena, would they have even made – I haven't even – this isn't something I even pay attention to. Like, have teams in recent years that have won the NIT hung a banner? Like, did TCU hang one this year? I should know that since Fort Worth is right down the street, but I haven't gone to a TCU game this year. So I don't know if they hung a banner or not for their NIT. But, yeah, I don't think you want to open up the new arena hanging an NIT banner.
No, I think
I'm good without it. Good without it.
No, I quite frankly, I hope the Great Alaskan Shootout banner gets lost in the transition from one building to the next.
Just make that like a like a curtain.
Put it
in a bathroom or something.
Make it a pendant somewhere in the Kasdan gym underneath the owl or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we don't need that up there, but. One other thing that I'll touch on with the NIT, Phil. What did you think of the new rules? The further three-point line, wider lane, and, of course, playing quarters instead of halves.
I would say I loved the wider lane and the three-point shooting, the bigger arc. I like that. I really liked the reset to 20 on an offensive rebound. The quarters were, like, I get – theoretically why they were better, but they were disorienting. So maybe if you had a whole season where that's how it was. But I would definitely, I definitely think bringing over the automatic double bonus in some sort of context makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I when you reset the foul situation and there are fewer free throws and a half, I think that's good. I think the officiating crew in Milwaukee on Tuesday screwed up the TV timeouts because they did
like six,
7 minutes
ones.
And 3 minutes. They did 7 minutes and 3 minutes in all four quarters, where I think you're supposed to do 7-3, then quarter ends, then you do five.
Yep.
Or maybe it's the other way around. So I think there's still four TV timeouts.
Yeah, you do the 5 minute TV timeout and in the first and the third, and then you do 7-3 in the second and fourth.
Yeah, so I think they did 7-3 in every quarter in Tuesday's game. So I think they messed up. So there were too many TV timeouts. If that game seemed like it lasted too long, that's why they took too many TV timeouts. But I think I could get used to quarters. Like every other level of basketball plays quarters,
right?
Like high school basketball, boys and girls, women's college basketball. And both international basketball, men's and women's, and the NBA and WNBA, they all play quarters.
Yeah, I think if you, like I said, I would be fine with moving to it as long as, like, it was jarring compared to the season. It was tough to get my brain wrapped around. But I definitely think it's if you do it for a whole season, I think you adapt pretty quickly because, like you said, it
I
is
say, I do kind of miss the one and one though. Like I think that's kind of in some ways, yeah. Like the I don't know. The reward for good free throw shooting or punishment for bad free throw shooting should still exist. I think it's some, like missing that front end is just a crusher. But I guess I kind of like that pressure. But I think I'll get over it. I guess if there are fewer free throws overall.
I think the double automatic double bonus makes sense with the quarters. Right to your point, if you do it over. If you have a 20-minute half, I mean, those fouls are going to pile up, and then you're going to get just a metric ton of free throws sometimes with the way some of these games are called. So, but I'm all for anything where a team, especially with Marquette's free throw defense, where a team is shooting less free throws, I'm generally for that.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I will touch on for the NIT, just to kind of wrap it up, notable record set, Andrew Rousey. Has the Marquette single season scoring list. He passed Dwayne Wade 2003. As crazy as it sounds, with his 29 points tonight, he has finished with, I believe the official total is 716 career points or points this season.
Yes.
So that's a record. And Marcus Howard with his 21 points passed Jarrell McNeil, who was second. So now Howard is third behind Wade and Rousey. So two of the top three best single season scoring efforts were this season. Howard and Rousey,
which is kind of like what makes this season so frustrating, right? Like you had two all-star performances, and this team was in the NIT.
Right. I mean, Jarrell McNeil was he like a second or third team All-American that last year? I want to say
second team
or honorable mention. Yeah, and then of course Wade. I mean, that's the greatest Marquette season of my lifetime, 2003, of course. So that's the only bummer about it to me is, like, I was a little, just a tiny bit upset that that record was broken in an NIT loss. Like, I was like, man, like, the two best seasons, two of the three best seasons in Marquette history were NIT seasons. But
well, but, and how many more, how many more games did Wade have than Rousey and Howard? If you think about it, so I mean, they went deeper
Marquette
in the conference
played,
tournament, right?
Played 35 games this season. So let me look up how many games Marquette played in 2003. Stand by. Say something interesting while I look this up.
So cow tipping is a thing that we should do for every free throw distraction from now on.
Mark,
that
was awesome. Dwayne Wade played in 33 games.
Okay.
That year.
So I mean, not that we need to go full, you know, asterisk on the home run record here, but Rousey took a couple extra games to get there, right?
Yeah, if you wanted to say that to make yourself feel better, sure.
I just want to preserve Wade's legacy. Well, I mean, yes. Rousey's not taking that anytime soon.
With all due respect to Rousey, his number's not going to be hanging in the rafters. Marquette's retired enough from numbers already anyway.
Running out.
But it's still not going to – let's not crap on it entirely. That congratulations to both Rousey and Howard on incredible scoring outputs this season. Again, we wish the defense was there so they could have gotten those points in NCAA tournament games. But it's certainly nothing to turn your nose up at. And for those, you know, who are upset with the direction of the program under Wojo, or maybe slow progress is a better way to say it, there is no denying that the offense has been truly elite the last two seasons, and hopefully that continues into next year with Rousey gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, yes, Rousey got a lot of points, but we also, which was good, but, you know, he also had a tendency to dominate the ball sometimes. So it'll be interesting to see how the scoring distribution works next season.
That's the big question. We're going to probably do a big, you know, deeper dive into what we expect next season, but that is certainly something I'm curious to see over the next, you know, month or so, if another point guard is added to the roster, and if so, how that changes the dynamic with Howard, if it's going to be paired with a distributing point guard, or is it going to be another scoring guard? Hopefully it's not another tiny guard who can't defend. Hopefully if they add another point guard, it's a really good defender. Or are they just going to stand pat with the roster as it is, and does that makes Howard the full-time point guard, and, you know, how will his scoring output change if he's the point guard? Is he going to be a scoring point guard and shoot a lot? Fine with me if he is. And or is he going to have to be creating for others? Is he going to be creating for the Housers? Is Kane going to step up? Is Elliott going to score more? Or is Elliott going to play more point guard next year? So that's something that we'll be talking about probably throughout the whole offseason to see how the roster takes shape for next year. But Yeah.
Needless to say, like we said, it was fun, but it's time to be done so the all the players can heal up and we can start to, because like we've said, next year is the year. That's we're putting all the chips in the middle of the table for next year.
Yeah, and I, you know, we'll break that down more later, but you know, I think that's kind of the general consensus about everybody when we talk about the job Wojo's done so far and what we're expecting next year. Is we're hoping, we've been saying that for really weeks on this podcast, right? As far as basically, we're just waiting for next year. Is next year going to be a big step forward, or is it still going to be kind of a status quo and still kind of middle to bottom Big East? Or are they going to take a step forward and go middle to top Big East? And certainly the experience should be there next year, barring some shocking roster turnover, which could very well happen. You never know. We may think we know everything about next year's roster, but we'll see if there are any developments over the next few weeks and if there will be before the next time we do a podcast. But I guess that's where we're going to wait a little bit as far as a full post-mortem on the season and look back on everything. But yeah, breaking down the NIT, it was fine. Like, obviously, you would have much rather gone to the tournament and lost in the first round, even in Dayton, than playing the NIT, because even though it was the NIT and our team was playing, I was never really excited watching these games at home. I don't know about you. Maybe you had fun at the games, but like when the season was over, I was like, kind of like, well, all right, that's enough. Well, as opposed to if you lose in the NCAA tournament, it's heartbreaking, but still you want to live for that heartbreak, right? That feeling of we could make one more step closer to a national championship, and even if it gets ripped away, that's just the joy of the sport. And as crazy as the NCAA tournament has been, you never know what could happen in that freaking thing. Like, Syracuse barely gets in, and they go to another Sweet 16. So, Duke, come on, do the God's work and get Syracuse out of there.
I can't believe we're cheering for Duke, but here we are.
That's what we have to do.
I mean, the games, I will say the games in person were awesome. They were super fun. I mean, I've never been, I'm not a, not to go all fiddler on the roof, but I'm not a very rich man. But some of the seats I had were super close and really tight to the action. And it was, so being there in person, I think made it a lot more, I guess I'll say special, but I totally get, like, even watching tonight. And again, you can say it's revisionist simply because Marquette was struggling and Penn State was kind of controlling the whole way. But I was somewhat disconnected to the game. You know, I was watching it, but I wasn't doing my typical I'm pacing around or getting frustrated or angry or anything like that. Barely added steps to the Fitbit counter. So I think it was cool, but let's not do it again next year.
Yeah, nice run. It was kind of fun, but I never, ever want to play in the NIT again. Obviously, inevitably in my lifetime, they will. I just hope it's not next year or the year after that or the year after that. So hopefully a streak of NCAA tournament appearances can begin next year, and so we'll continue to break that down in our next podcast. We told this is probably going to be a short one, but before we get out of here, I did want to mention this. Congrats to our old buddy Tom Crean, back in coaching. He is at the University of Georgia. He's a coach again. As good as he was on TV, I think everyone who knew him and followed him knew he wanted to get back into coaching. So I think Georgia's a great spot for him. You know, it's a place with a great athletic department, a huge fan base, but they all care about football. So their craziest fans are more worried about if the football team can get back to the national championship game. And if he can just make the basketball team interesting, which I think he will, I think he'll do very well at Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia was kind of the more of the surprise. I kind of had him slated more for, say, a UConn or maybe even a Pitt after Stallball left town. But if you think about it, I mean, Georgia isn't exactly renowned for basketball, and Crean's done that, you know, national blue blood rebuilding thing with, to a certain extent, with Marquette, and certainly tried it with Indiana, right? I mean, there's no doubting the Indiana program. We made fun of the it's Indiana thing, but you know, there's no doubting that Indiana is or at least was a premier program in the country. Georgia, this kind of gives him a little more latitude to build, you know, a little more cover to build up the program and build it the way he wants to build it and find success. Because I think the SEC is a decent basketball conference, but I think by and large, with the exception of Kentucky, that's a very hit or miss conference, right? Teams ebb and flow and stuff like that. So I think
careful
it's a good
how you mispronounce Kentucky. Be careful on mispronouncing Kentucky, but yeah.
That was a near miss.
So the explicit lyrics warning. I will say this, you know, I think it's a better fit than UConn or Pitt for a few reasons. One, I'm not sure how great a job UConn is in the American Athletic Conference. You know, granted, I know people are excited about Memphis because they hired Penny Hardaway on Tuesday and see if he could bring that program back. They have some nice teams, but they also have some trash at the bottom, and the expectations are going to be to get back to the Final Four sooner rather than later because, you know, they're certainly not excited about their football team. The only way I think UConn becomes a great job again is if it gets back into the Big East. And then Pitt, you're building from the bottom. Maybe Pitt can be a competitive program in the ACC, but you got so many blue bloods at the top that you're never going to catch. And then you got some good programs in the middle that you just got to battle with to finish in fourth or fifth place. And you're starting with a team that went 0-19 and eight players just requested a release for transfer. I mean, damn, whoever takes that job, if it ends up being Danny Hurley, who supposedly has been offered the job, they got a lot of building to do. They got a lot of work to do. But
I know Rhode Island's got a few seniors on the roster, but I guess I don't understand, if you're Danny, not to go national, but if you're Danny Hurley, why do you leave for Pitt?
$3 million a year and a long contract.
I guess, but I mean, that's a program that got exactly what it deserved when they chased out Jamie Dixon, right? I mean, like, look what he's doing in TCU. I mean, and Pitt's cratered.
Yeah, now Pitt's trying to make up for it now by overspending it. Who knows? By the time this podcast is posted, Hurley may have accepted the job.
Yeah,
but from a Crean perspective, I'm definitely glad he went to Georgia because, yeah, you're probably never catching Kentucky, at least on a consistent basis, as long as Calipari's there. But beyond that, the SEC is very fluid behind Kentucky.
Yep.
Every year it's going to be a different team that's going to be the team that can take down Kentucky. Next year, it's probably going to be LSU because they have a huge class coming in. This past year, people thought it was going to be Texas A&M, who is in the Sweet 16 and may get back to a Final Four this year. Some years, it may be Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee and Auburn finished tied to win the league this year. So I think all the teams behind Kentucky are all fluid. And I think give Crean a few years, get him a chance to do some recruiting, build some relationships in the Southeast, which is probably new recruiting territory for him. He's going to get some really good players in there. And, yeah, who knows, maybe there will be a year where Georgia is right there with Kentucky and one of the top three or four teams in the SEC. And he's not taking over a terrible team. They're going to be losing Yante Maton, I believe. But yep. Other than that, he's already reached out to Ashton Hagans, who we mentioned in the last podcast is the guy Marquette's going after. Sounds like he's going to stay in 2019, by the way, quick recruiting nugget. So the odds of him joining Marquette next year are very, very slim. But I'm sure Marquette will stay on him for next year, but now they're fighting with Tom Crean for him. So Crean will do fine. And like I said, will he ever get Georgia to a Final Four or win a national championship? Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that, but will they be relevant? And I think he will thrive in a relatively low pressure situation. I think he'll do well. So happy for Tom Crean. Wish him the best. I think as years go by, more and more Marquette fans appreciate what he did than are bitter over him leaving. I think especially when you're two coaches removed from the current coach, people look back a little fondly. Whenever Wojo's tenure ends, even if it's 10 or 12 years from now, whenever it ends, I think people, when they're on to the next coach, will probably look more fondly back on Buzz Williams. Enough time will have passed. But as crazy as that sounds now, people are, oh, boo, Buzz Williams. Can't stand Buzz Williams. I think people get over it in time, and I think most people are over Tom Crean leaving now. So I think most Marquette fans would be supportive and wish him well in Georgia. So who knows? Maybe we'll see him in an NCAA tournament game someday.
Yeah, I agree for the most part that I think the fan base is over the Tom Crean hate. I mean, because basically Tom Crean was I'm going to piss off some fans when I leave, and it'll stick for a while. And Buzz Williams basically went, hold my beer, and and tried to piss off the fan base even more. So I do think there's some of that. If Wojo leaves, under bad conditions or something like that, I think there's something to the, well, Buzz won't be as hated as he is now. But yeah, I mean, we may have hated the details around Crean leaving, but he left for, what was, I would argue, was potentially a better opportunity. It didn't turn out to be that way because, hey, sometimes going to an insane fan base isn't the way to do things. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubting. I mean, he even saw it in the booth this year, right? I mean, he had the one Big Ten game he was calling where he literally called the end of game play before ran, went full Tony Romo, right? So he, as much as I make fun of him, he's got a mind for basketball. He can coach basketball. He knows his stuff. He's going to be fine at Georgia. Wish him luck. I'm not going to spend, other than occasional gifts just because they're hilarious to me, I'm not going to spend much time
thinking
about
them. That's the best
part. Yeah.
That we will have more Tom Crean GIFs, however you want to pronounce it, to use on Twitter.
That's true.
So we can still kind of poke fun at him, but in a loving way.
Right.
So that's all it's going to be. So, and hopefully we will have more exciting Marquette things to talk about over the year.
If we're spending a lot of podcasts talking about other programs, things have not been going well in the Marquette camp.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not the case. But we're going to take a deeper dive again in our next podcast, probably in a week or so, probably after the Final Four or something like that. And kind of recap the whole season and look back. Was it a good season? Was it a bad season? Was it a terrible season? How worried are we for the next few years? How excited are we for next year? And we'll get into all that next time around. Phil's going to be out of the country for a little bit. Phil, I want to wish you safe travels, buddy.
Yeah. I'm going to the Emerald Isles. Going to go crawl from pub to pub throughout Southern Ireland. So I'm looking forward to it. It's good to get a break, but wanted to make sure we got a little postseason closeout here before I took off for Ireland.
Yeah, say hello to my distant relatives while you're over there. I'd really appreciate it.
I will. Every McCann I see, I will ask, hey, do you know Joe?
They'll say no, definitely not.
Does that make me racist?
Nah, I'll allow it. Just have another beer.
Okay.
As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs, everybody. Hit us up on Twitter, JoeMcCann3, M-O-O-F-23, Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Maybe hit us up with some things you want to hear us talk about in the season recap pod, which we'll do in a week or so. You can leave your comments and your suggestions or questions, whatever, on cracksidewalks.com. That's where we post the podcasts. You can also go to the Scrambled Eggs Facebook page, post the podcast there. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Phil, safe travels, and good luck, I guess, if there's anything left of your bracket in the tournament that matters.
Oh, no, it's full garbage. So I'm going to go to Ireland with not a care in the world and look to relax and looking forward to put the season behind us and seeing what the nice summer looks like in front of us.
Me, I'm just pulling for Villanova.
Absolutely.
Until next time, everybody.
Big East.
Seashells and balloons, everybody.